Yom Tov. Hirusha
Yom Tov. Our minig is that we only duchen on Yom Tovim. We don't duchen every day of the year. Strictly speaking, the obligation to duchen is not connected with Yom Tov. The din is that, based on the pasuk in Chumash, that if the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbanas Sibur, the Kohanim are obligated to duchen when called upon. If the Tzibur asks them to duchen, they're mechuyev to duchen. Rabbi Yankif Emden is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah saying that duchening Bizman is only the Rabbanon. Even Bizman Amigdash, it's only the Rais at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbanas Sibur. That's a Gemara in Eilei Nemorim. And Satan, Perik Eilei Nemorim. It says Beferish. So the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with Rabbi Yankif Emden, and he brings Rais from Gemaras and from passages in the Sifra and the Sifrei. The duchening is the Rais. How can it be the Rais though? It's Tachanof in the Gemara. So that's what the Keren Oira writes in his commentary on that Gemara in Soito. That when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, so we say the last bracha in the middle, we say Shema Kaleinu Chutz V'Rachma Aleinu Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Tfilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our prayers. And then we just ask that he should listen to our prayers, then we say again, Ritzei Hashem Alkein Ba'am Chis Ola B'Sfilosom. He should listen to our prayers. We just said he should listen to our prayers. What's the repetition? So the answer is, Ritzei means he should accept our prayers as if we had brought a korban. The prayer should be accepted as if we brought a korban. Because the term ritzui, ritzei, is 99% of the time it appears in Tanakh in connection with korbanos. Usually, the expression ritzui is in connection with korbanos. So we say Hashem Yisbarach should accept our prayers as if we had offered a korban. So when a yochid, daven shmona esrei, his tfilos ha-yochid is considered as if it's converted into a korban yochid. When the chazan recites the Chazaras Hashatz, that's Tfilos HaTzibur. When he says, Ritzei, Hashem Elokein Ba'am Chisol B'Sfilosom, so his prayer is accepted as if he had offered a Korban Tzibur, because to begin with, it was a Tfilos HaTzibur. So then with the Ritzei, is considered a Korban Tzibur. So at the conclusion of Hakrobus Korbanos Tzibur, that's when you duchen. So the Keren Orah says, that's why it's Deraisa. It's not a Pshetl, it's not a Drosha. That's why duchening today is considered Deraisa, because it is at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbanas Tzibur. So our minig is that when we duchen, so we say a piyut in the middle of the bracha. We say b'sera alach asiraseinu ka'oiloch a korban. Our prayers, our tefillah, should be accepted. They should be sweet. They should be a merutza ta'kodesh bochu, as if we had brought a korban. Basically, that's what you say. We say anyway. We say Hashem Elokeinu Ba'am Chisol B'Sfilosom. That's what it means. Hashem should accept our prayers as if we had offered a korban. But when you duchen, so you say that again. You emphasize it again. The serav alecha asira seino, our asiras, our prayer should be serav, should be sweet and pleasant. Hakadosh Baruch Hu ki'olach a korban. So therefore, since we just finished hakrovas korban sibur, that's what enables us to duchen. So that's why the Gemara has it. Then the Kavanah has it on this Gemara in Soito that the Kohanim who want to duchen have to start going towards the platform. Duchen is a platform. So the Kohanim always used to stand on top of a platform that their voice should carry to the back of the shul. They have to duchen mikol rom. Mikol rom means loud enough that everybody in the shul should be able to hear. If there are people standing all the way in the back, so they have to scream very loud. If it's a small shul and everybody's standing in the front, they can whisper. The kol rom is loud enough that everyone should hear what they're saying. So the practice always was the Kohanim would duchen on top of a platform. That's why it's called duchening. Duchen is a platform in the Lashon HaMishnayos. That's a shailin din, whether the platform is leikuva, is it ma'akeh b'di'ebed, if you don't stand on top of a platform, you can't recite in the Siyas Kapayim, or is just an Eitzah Teiva kamash malon. You stand on a platform, so your voice will carry better. So there are, it's a machlekes and achreinim. Several achreinim say that standing on a platform is ma'akeh b'di'ebed. The only achreinim say that as Sfardish achreinim. None of the Ashkenazi achreinim say like that. So that's why the Sfardim are more medactic. I remember once I daven on a Shabbos, I daven in Yeshiva Kol Torah. So the platform in front of the Aron Kodesh where the Kohanim stand to duchen is not big enough to hold all the Kohanim. So first all the Sfardishi Kohanim walked up. And after the Sfardim walked up, then as much room as there was for several Ashkenazim, so a couple of Ashkenazim walked up, and the rest of them stood on the floor, because the only poskim who say that is ma'akev are some of the Sfardishi poskim. Most of the Sfardishi poskim holds also not ma'akev, but some of them hold.
It's a symbolic duchen. They have how high is the duchen? An inch off the floor? They don't have big. It's very symbolic.
No, usually they have a platform in front of the Yaron Kodesh, a couple of steps. A couple of steps up.
Not
the
shul.
No. I don't know. That's why when they have the big duchening on Chalamoid Pesach and on Chalamoid Sukkot by the Kaisel, so a lot of the people, a lot of the Kohanim will stand on cartons, they'll stand on milk boxes. They stood on a platform. Yeah. Yeah, but the Shilas, maybe they stood on a platform that the voice should carry. Or is it because that's the halacha? The Gemara doesn't have any pasuk. Gemara never says.
Okay.
The voice should carry hastiness.
They always use
the phrase, yeah, that's right. If you duchen every day, so they don't have time, they're in a rush, they have to go to work. So they don't have time to say piyutim in the middle of davening. And the sereva is just a repetition of what it says or it say. It's a repetition. So what you really don't have to say it. You already said it.
I was always wondering, what does it mean, Enkas Yankov Vini Ishtom? What kind of a Enkas are we referring to in the Tihirut song? Keshemshin Shumatu, Enkas Yankov Vini Ishtom. What does it say, so? What kind of
Enkas? I never say that. I don't even know what that is. That's a tefillah that's in the Siddur.
At the end, yeah. Where is it?
Uh-huh. The third tefillah.
I stop talking at all. I have no problem.
That's the chassidish nusach that it has. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he thinks that it's not right that you say this long. The long yehiratzin. So the Vilna Gaon says you say the Rabbanu Shalom all three times because the Rabbanu Shalom states in Gemara. The long Yehiratzim Ofanecho that you're quoting from. I never said that. So that long, this is Achsidish Zacht. It was composed by Achsidish
Tzadik.
Yeah, this is the Yotzko. Yeah.
I believe that I once asked Rabbi Shulman, and he was also a little puzzled.
So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon. He thinks all three times he should say the Rabbanu Shel Olam. At the end of the first, Yirach Hashem Yishmarecho, so he should say V'sishmareini. The second time, Yor Hashem Panalech Bichoneku, you should say Usuchaneini. The third time, Yasem Lechol Shalom, you should say Visirtseini. Not that you say all three. Sishmereini is Chaneini Visirtseini. After the first pasuk, you say Visishmereini. After the second pasuk, you say Usuchaneini. The conclusion of the tefillah should correspond to that particular pasuk. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara has it in. The Kohanim, if they want to be qualified to duchen, have to start walking towards the platform. By the time the chazan finishes the bracha of Ritzei, that's the Birchas Avodah. Why? So the Kevin Arab explains why. Because it's that bracha, the Ritzei, that converts the tefillah Satzibur into the Korban Hatzibur, and that's what enables them to duchen. Taka the duchening always is supposed to be at the conclusion of Hakrobas Korbanas Tzibur. The duchening has to be Ponim Kereged Ponim. A lot of people are so worried about looking into Kohanim's hands, so they turn around, they turn their backs. A lot of men, a lot of women, you have to tell the women also. A lot of the women turn around, that's not right. The Gemara says, Am Shebasod is the people who are not in shul, so the bracha of the Kohanim is chal on them, even though they're not facing the Kohanim, because they're not in shul, so what do you want? But the people who are in shul, who don't turn around to face the Kohanim, so they don't get the bracha. The bracha is only chal if it's panim keneged panim.
What is the
bracha
that they say end with
the Abba? What's the meaning of the bracha? Yeah, that's from the Zohar. That the Nusach HaBracha is in the Gemara. but the Zohar explains that the Kohen can only say a bracha if he loves the Tzibur. If the Kohen doesn't like the Tzibur, then it's a sakana for him to say the bracha. He shouldn't do it.
That's not necessarily true for Avodah when he's doing Kohen.
No.
He'd be indifferent.
You're right. He does the karbanas, doesn't have to like the bala korban. But the duchening, to give a bracha to the tzibur, is in the Zohar, it says, the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Zohar.
It's a
sakana for the kohen if he's going to give duchening if he doesn't really love the tzibur.
Don't go up.
Yeah.
Did they duchen also at the karban talmud in the evening too?
I don't think so. The Gemara says they only duchen by shachris and musa by mincha not because of the chashash shikris. The Beis Hamikdash, there's probably no chashash shikris because the main din is a shikris is not allowed to be makrov karbonis. And then as a secondary din, since duchening is like a form of hakrovas hakarbonis, So shikir is not permitted to duchen either. But the main din is that he's not allowed to be makar of karbonis. But still, in the Mishnah it says they wouldn't duchen by mincha. They would only duchen on a tainus. The Gemara says you only duchen by there's a machlekes satanoim. So some tanoim paskin that on a tainus you duchen by mincha because there's no chashash shikris. We don't paskin like that. We paskin you only duchen by neila. We only say neila on Yom Kippur. But basically in the Mishnah you see neila was a tefilas hatainus. By us, the only tainus tzibur we have is Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av does make sense to say Ne'ilah, because Ne'ilah means we offer another prayer in the hope that by being Moisef another tefillah, we stand a better chance of having our tefillahs answered. So on Tisha B'Av, the Rebbeinu Shlom said, Sosam tefillosi. We leave out the skabel. We say in Eicha, Gam Kiezek Vashereh, Sosam tefillosi. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want to accept the prayers. So on Tisha B'Av, we don't say Ne'ilah, special reason why. So you only say Ne'ilah when it's a tiny sibur. So the only two tiniest sibur we have today are Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av you don't say, we're left with Yom Kippur. So people make a mistake. They think that Ne'ilah is a special Tfilas Yom Kippur. No, it's a Tfilas HaTaynis. So the Mishnah say that by Ne'ilah you can duchen, but by Mincha you shouldn't duchen even on a tiny sibur because of the Gzeira Mincha today or to Mincha another day. Then the Gemara says, Behoidno, and by us in Bovel we do duchen by Mincha. On a tainus sibur, so how come? Aitz kineged adin. Adin is you're not supposed to duchen by mincha. So the Gemara says that the practice would be on a tainus sibur, they would daven mincha later in the day. Samach lishkiya sachama. Every day they would daven mincha earlier, and on a tainus sibur they would daven mincha later. So it's like neila, just like neila was at the end of the day on a tainus sibur, and that's why neila you're allowed to duchen. So on a tainus sibur they used to daven mincha later in the day than a normal day. Yeah, behind by us, the minig is fakert. We usually daven mincha earlier on a tiny sibur because a lot of people are not going to fast till the end of the day. So we want to have Brian Chodz davening mincha. So by us, if we're davening mincha before, we're davening at the mincha gedoyla or something, so medina di gemara, it's not right to duchen by mincha on a tiny sibur. They quote from the Chazanish in Eretz Yisrael. He introduced that you duchen by mincha on a tiny sibur even if you're davening early. So most don't follow that in Eretz. So they say it's against the Gemara. They don't understand why the Chazanish said that. The Gemara said beferish, we in Bovel v'hidna, why do we duchen by mincha on a tiny sibur keneged apsak? So the official answer the Gemara gives is because they used to daven mincha later in the day than regular. So it was nicker that it's different. It was noticeable that the mincha on a tiny sibur was different from the mincha every day. So the mincha on a tiny sibur was similar to ne'ilah. Yeah, but by us we don't do like that. In general, oh yeah, on a tiny sibur, yeah, he said in public, yeah, he said the Gemara says fakir, you're supposed to daven later on a tiny sibur, not earlier, yeah. But yeah, all over they daven early on a tiny sibur. Yeah.
After the Nila, there's no more rachamim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The
Shari Rachmim are open on Yom Kippur. Yes.
Yeah.
So Nila is
after Nila.
Yeah.
There's no more.
Yeah. The din is that the duchening is supposed to be panim keneged panim. The Gemara says that Kohanim have to be bamida, just like Kohanim have to stand when the makrav karbonis. So Kohanim have to stand when they duchen as well. Does the tzibur have to stand when the Kohanim give the birchas Kohanim? So the Gemara never says the Rishonim add on. Since the duchening has to be panim keneged panim, and the Kohanim are standing, so mistaber that if the tzibur is going to be sitting, it's going to be a chisarn in panim keneged panim. So once the halacha requires that the Kohanim have to stand, so the Mele we require that the tzibur should stand as well.
But they're going to be standing on a platform.
Yeah, that far not. We don't require that the tzibur should stand on a platform. We'll make a line that. Yeah.
What's the concept? It's lacking panim. Is that because of color? It's the Eshteni, we should not sit. Is that the idea? What's the meaning of this relationship? I mean, how was it expressed better?
The duchening should be Amar Lahem Kodam Hambadabri Al Chaveru.
So
Adam Hambadabri Chaveru, you face each other and you're in the same position. Either they're both sitting or they're both standing. So the Kohanim have to stand like Hakrovas Karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mele, the Rishonim say the Tzibur should stand as well. Yeah, the Gemara says that in the Kohanim have to lift up their hands. A lot of times the Kohanim don't, they pick up their hands like this. As a shayla if they yotze the mitzvah, shayla they said a bracha levatola. You say Hashem Kedushan v'kedushos Hashem Sivan v'bachas Amisol be'yavol. Holding the hands like this, the Gemara says it's supposed to be stretching out like this, a little bit bending like this, mechateis. But it's not supposed to be low; it's supposed to be high.
The davening used to be like this.
That was also in the Nesias Kapayim. Davening would be like this, like asking for a matana. So you hold your hands out like this. And duchening has to be like this, as if the Kohanim are giving a bracha. Right. Two different forms of Nesias Kapayim. So in the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says the Shechina would be Shaira on the hands of the Kohanim when they were duchen. So the Gemara says there was a Kepeda, you're not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohanim. In Chutz LeBeis Hamikdash, there is no such tradition that the Shechina Shaira on the hands. But because in the Beis Hamikdash there was a Kepeda, you shouldn't look at the hands of the Kohanim. The Kovod HaShechina, even Chutz LeBeis Hamikdash, we don't allow it either. So because people are so concerned about not looking at the hands of the Kohanim, so that's why they turn around. So that's not proper. That's what it says in Din. They're not allowed to turn their backs to the Kohanim. They won't be included Bichlal Brocha. Oh, so in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in the 1500s in Eretz Yisrael. So they introduced a new minig, he records it, that the Kohanim cover their hands with the talus, so they can't see anything anyway. So there's no chashash. The Mishnah Brura writes that there were different forms of the minig. Chavetz Chaim lived in Poland. So he writes in Poland, the minig was that the Kohanim covered their faces and their hands were exposed. So they wanted to solve their problem. They didn't want to look at their hands. So they would have a talus over their face and their hands would be exposed. You have a problem, so you give zachan etzah. What you're going to do not to look at the hands of the Kohanim. And then in the Mishnah Brura he writes, but in Litte, the minig is, like Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote, the minig is that the Kohanim cover their hands so the tzibur can't see. Many have a minig that they have the talus, the Kohanim have the talus in between their face and their hands so they shouldn't see their hands, and then they have the talus go over their hands, so neither the Kohen nor the tzibur should be able to see their hands.
That way,
Rabbi Yosef Karo, in the Kesef Mishnah, he raises a suffix. The Mishnah in Megillah has a gzera de Rabbanon that a Kohen who has mumin b'pon of yodav v'raglov is not permitted to duchen because it's going to draw attention to his hands and people are going to be staring at his hands to see he's missing a finger or something, or they're going to stare at his face and it's not proper to look at his hands. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, he wonders that now Bizman said that they started a minig, they cover their hands. The whole reason for this gzera de Rabbanon doesn't apply. Because even if you look, you can't see anything. You're just going to see the talus. So he wonders whether the Gzera de Rabbanon still applies or not. So in the case of Mishnah, his commentary on the side of the Ramah, he's not sure. By the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo already was Peshit his Sufik, and he paskens that the Gzera in the Mishnah doesn't apply. So he took a Mishnah and he crossed it out. The Mishnah doesn't apply, Bizman Hazeh. Usually we assume that a Gzera de Rabbanon that was instituted for a specific reason is binding even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies. That's usually referred to as a davshe b'minyan, tzorach minyan achal atiro. A gzera de rabbanon that was instituted for a reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, still have to observe it. So why did Rabbi Yosef Karo think that it doesn't apply here? So that's what the Mishkanes Yankev has a whole tshuva about that. There was a whole with Rabbi Kivege, with Rabbi Chaim Balozhina, there was a whole tumult about Hasogas Gvul on printing the Shas. The Slavita Shas with the Vilna Shas. They used to make charamim when someone would publish a Shas. So what, he has a copyright on the Shas? He's not the author of the Shas. Someone prints a Chumash, someone prints a Rambam. He's not the Bala Machabra of the Chumash. He didn't write the Rambam. He told me Rabbi Mendel Kasha's grandchildren were growing up, they thought that their grandfather wrote the Chumash. Because it says on the first page of every volume of the Torah Shleima, it says Torah Shleima, written by Mendel Kasha. They thought he wrote, they didn't realize he just wrote the commentary on the bottom of the page. Yeah, so how can anybody have a copyright on the Chumash? What kind of business is that? So the Gedolim in Europe used to make charamim because whoever printed his sefer had to lay out a lot of money. And if so he has to recoup the money that he laid out to make a chotcha, a little profit, in order that it should be worthwhile for him to get involved in publishing Svarim. So they used to guess how long will it take the publisher to sell out enough volumes that he should not only cover his expenses, make a little profit, so he shouldn't be discouraged from laying out money from publishing other Svarim. So they used to make charamim, they used to guess how long. So one of these publishers, I forgot already which one, I think Slavita, so they printed a Shas, And then the Rabbanim gave a 5-year cherem. No one else is allowed to print the Shas in 5 years. So what happened was, they sold out all the volumes in 3 years. They had nothing left.
Wasn't entire about it.
So then the Vilna Shas, they said they sold all the volumes already. So there's no more cherem. So they printed another Shas. So the Slavita said, no, we have another 2 years to go. No one's allowed to print another Shas for another 2 years. So the other said, that's ridiculous. The whole reason why 5 years, the Rabbanim are guessing, it may take them up to 5 years to sell enough volumes that they should break even and make enough profit. They sold everything already, so the cheirim is up. So that was a big dintera then about the shaila of davishim minyan soch min yinach alatir. When the rabbanim make an iser, not only when the chachmei hatalmud make a din, in our generation, when the rabbanim make a cheirim, no one's allowed to print a shas for 5 years. Everybody knows the reason. So what about when the reason no longer applies? Do you say the gzeir of the rabbanim still applies? Or no. If it's obvious that the reason doesn't apply, so the whole Gzeirah D'Rabbanan doesn't apply. So Rabbi Kivega was involved, and there was cursing and bizyonis and everything, and all kinds of people were dying, Nisim Mishunis, because the Mavazah Rabbi Kivega, that he was senile. They said Rabbi Kivega was senile, and his son Abshalem Eger wound him up, and was Shalai Kedin. So everybody was with Machlekes, with everybody else. So one of the people involved a little later, and this issue was the Mishkanes Yankiv. So he has a tshuva. So he explains what's going on over here. He says, when the Chachamim make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, they have to have always a reason. Usually, when they make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, they don't incorporate the reason for the Gzeirah into the Gzeirah. If they're going to incorporate the Tama Gzeirah into the Gzeirah, so every Tom, Dick, and Harry will say, I understand that. Yes, I don't need the whole, I don't have to observe the whole thing, I'll violate it. And I'll be careful not to, like Shlomo HaMelech, I'll be careful not to do the other Aver. So usually, ruba de ruba of the cases, when the Chachamim make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, they don't incorporate, they're not Megala the Tam. The Gemara in fact tells, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah tells, when the Chachamim prohibited Gvina Sakum, so there was a whole meeting of Tanoim, and one of the Tanoim was absent that day. He didn't show up. So the next day, he asked, why did they ask the Gvina Sakum? So they wouldn't tell him. He was invited to the meeting. He wasn't there. So they said, we're not allowed to tell you until a year goes by. That was, the Gemara says, the policy. The Marov and Eretz Yisrael, they used to make Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, they wouldn't reveal the reason for a whole year. They wanted everybody to get used to observing the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Then we'll tell them the reason why. So the Mishkanes Yankiv explains, but once in a while, you must incorporate the Tama Gzeirah into the Gzeirah. Whenever the Gzeirah is Akiras Dovim and Atoira, the Chachamim tell you, despite the fact that it says in Chumash that you have to wear tzitzis on all four-cornered garments, we tell you that if it's a beged shel pishdon, don't put on tzitzis. Because the you may put on pasul atcheles, and that'll cause shatness, and it'll be shalom makam mitzvah. If you have shatness, if you have tcheles, kosher tcheles, and a chut of tcheles has to be tzemer, and the beggar is pishton, and it makes shatness, hot finish can bray with that. The din of eser dechaloy sesei. That's the original source for the institution of eser dechaloy sesei. But if you have pasul atcheles anyway, some faker sold you imitation tcheles, kloilon, in the days of the Tanaim, used to have Kloilon, indigo, what we call indigo is Kloilon in the Gemara. So then there was no need to put it in. It's not kosher with tchelus, you're not yet anything with that. So that you have the Aveira of Shatnes, and there's no Mokka Mitzvah over there. So they made Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, you're never allowed to put on tzitzis and a beged shel pishdon. So the Rosh says that Bizman Azeh, since no one's wearing tchelus anyway, nobody has any tchelus, so the whole reason for the Gzeirah doesn't apply, so the Gzeirah doesn't apply. But why don't you say Dovish Minyan Soch Minyan Achalatira? Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, even if you live in a generation when the reason doesn't apply, the Gzeirah should still apply. So the Rosh says something about it, and the Tshuvas HaRosh, the Tur, quotes his father's Tshuvas HaRosh, and it's a little unclear. So that's what the Mishkanes Yankiv explains. If you have a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, that's Bakiras Dovim and HaTorah. And the Chumash, it says you have to wear tzitzis in a full cone of garment. So the Chachamim only have a right to make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan Keneged a din in the Torah, if they specify, we don't allow you to put on tzitzis because X, Y, Z, they have to say the reason why. Or the same thing over here, in our Torah, they're mechuyif to duchen, even if they have mumim b'pan of yodah v'raglo. So the Chachamim tell a kohen, you're not allowed to duchen. What do you mean, not allowed to duchen? Religious persecution says in the Torah, you're mechuyif to duchen. How do the Chachamim say you're not allowed to duchen? So they have to incorporate the Tam HaGzer into the Nusach HaGzer. They have to say, you're not allowed to duchen because you have mumim b'pan of yodah v'raglo, so we're concerned. Someone may look at your hands, and then they'll be in violation of this din that you're not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohen. So that's what the Beis Yosef writes. That's what Rabbi Yosef Kara writes. If you live in a generation The whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply. They cover the hands. So such a gzera, the rabbanon, is not a davar sheb'minyan. It's only a davar sheb'minyan if they didn't incorporate the tam gzera into the nusach. The nusach gzera was stoma. So that's where the Mishkan and Yankiv talks about the haramim that they used to institute against publishing svar. What do you mean? They make a chem? No one's allowed to print a Rama. No one's allowed to print a Shas. Why? You'll be marbitz Torah barabim. And print more svarim, more people will have svarim to learn. So that's Akira's Dov Menatora. So whenever you make a gzera the Rabbanon, Akira's Dov Menatora, prohibiting publishers from putting out gemaras, you have to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So whenever the Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, so the whole gzera doesn't apply.
When the Kohanim cover up the hands with a towel, so the Kohol covers up the hands, very often it's a small towel, they pull it up, it doesn't cover the hands.
The whole reason for the talus is only to cover their hands. They can use a towel also. They can use a sheet or a shmata. Rabbi Yankev Emden writes like that. He says that it's a lack of ponim keneged ponim. When people are talking to each other, you don't hang a curtain in between. You talk to each other facing each other. So he's opposed to the whole minig. But Rabbi Yosef Kara records it as a minig toiv.
They
didn't cover the hands, that's for sure. And
no,
the
did they cover the face?
No. The people had to be careful not to look at their hands. Then it was in the Beis Hamikdash, we assumed that the Shechinah was sure on their hands, so then it was stuck a real din. But yes, it's not such a serious din. It's a minig not to look.
I don't understand what the play is. What is the problem with Pishtun and using tailors for some real tailors? At worst, it's seven. You're allowed to make it, right?
If the beggar is Pishton and the Chutim at Semer, then by definition it's going to be Shatnes.
But it's allowed.
It's only allowed if it's absolutely necessary. Eser Dechalai says is only when it's EF Shalakayim Shneim. I can't fulfill the mitzvah without violating the Aver of Shatnes. If you're putting in Treles, then the Chut that's dyed Treles has to have a certain color and has to have a certain material. The chut of trelis or the chutim of trelis have to be tzemer. But if it's kloilon, imitation trelis, it's not kosher. So you could have put on chutim of pishton for that. You didn't need chutim of tzemer for that.
Can you make scissors, wool scissors on pishton?
Not allowed to.
No?
You're not allowed to.
Was that Beishamai that forbidden or what?
No, Beishamai prohibited. We pass like Beishamai. This is one of the cases where we pass like Beishamai. The Gemara says in the first parak in Shabbos, one day, Beis Shammai were in the majority in the Beis Medrash, so they voted on 18 Zeres. So that, no, this is not one of the 18. So in addition to the 18, so Taisus and Sukkot of Gimla and Aleph says, from the Siddur of Amram going, there are another 6 cases. 18 plus 6 is 24. So another 6 cases where it's Muchach and the Gemara that we pass like Beis Shammai. So this is one of them, that Beis Shammai prohibit putting on tzitzis on a beggar shall pishtan. Beis Hillel were to me mizdik, and they said, why should you be choshed that the one who's selling you the trelis is going to sell you pasul at trelis? The stomach will sell you bona fide kosher trelis. Beis Shammai was afraid that there are cheaters, there are gangsters, there are criminals. We'll sell you pasul at trelis.
Yeah, but they all hold regular tzemek cannot be used for tzitzis on pishtan.
You could have used pishtan in a beggar. You could have used strings of pishtan.
But if you don't, can you use...
Can only use chutim of tzemer if you have bona fide trelis. So trelis has to be tzemer. You have no breira. You can't dye pishtan. You can dye pishtan trelis, but you won't be out to the mitzvah of trelis. Trelis has to be a special color and a special material. The strings of trelis have to be tzemer. So if you have kosher trelis, so you have no breira. So that's eser dechalos eser, because it's a yefshe l'kaim shneim. You can only fulfill the essay of tzitzis with trelis in this beged if you have shatnas. But if you don't have trelis anyway, then there's no head to have the shatnas.
What's the story today? Everybody claims to have trelis.
We're not sure. The Radzina Rebbe in the late 1800s went to Italy especially. He wanted to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So you need trelis of the big dekuna. Some of the big dekuna need trelis.
There is a new trelis that's made in Israel right now.
Right.
What's the story with that?
Right, so the trelis that he came up with turned out most didn't accept it. Most of the rabbanim thought that he made a mistake. So now they came up with some new trelis. They're two different groups.
New people, young people.
Yeah.
Came up with the trelis.
Right.
You need to have a woolen
tzitzis, you know, regular tzitzis, if you go away from Elis.
Does the garment have to be wool? Yeah. No, the garment doesn't have to be wool. No.
But it can't be pishton.
It can't be pishton. Right, but it can be cotton. Just a question, it is a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. I beg it of katan, is it mechuyev and tzitzis ben haTorah or only midirabon? So because there are tanoim and poskim who think that katan, the four-cornered cotton garment, is only mechuyev and tzitzis midirabonon, and the whole idea of wearing tzitzis is in order to gain another mitzvah. We don't wear four-cornered garments. Bizmara Gemara, that was normal to wear four-cornered garments. Bizmara Zen, normal goyim in the stores, they don't sell four-cornered garments. So we go out of our way to wear a four-cornered garment. So may as well go out of your way to wear a four-cornered garment of tzemer, that you should know for sure that you're fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes. The Vilna Gaon's practice was that he wore an arba kamfes of cotton. He didn't wear wool. But on the other hand, the Vilna Gaon wore a talus and tefillin all day long. So he's wearing a talus, it's woolen talus. So he only took off the woolen talus when he went to the bathroom. So then he had on the arba kamfes. So maybe that's why he wore a cotton in the arba kamfes. But that's many who follow the Vilna Gaon's practice is a talus and tefillin all day long that they don't follow, that they don't do. But they wear a cotton arba kamfes. Rav Soloveitchik, Zohan Aruch, he didn't wear talus and tefillin all day long. But because the Vilna Gaon wore a cotton arba kamfes, he used to wear a cotton arba kamfes also. He didn't wear woolen. Yeah, sure it's more comfortable. Sure it's more comfortable.
The is not from a certain fish in the yam. The makor of tchelet.
Tchelet, yeah. The Gemara says has to be from a certain fish in the Mediterranean, yeah. So that's a child. We don't have a tradition on this fish. We just know that it's some kind of a sea animal that's available in the Mediterranean. And the dye is the same color as indigo. Because the Gemara says the fakers would sell kla'ilon and claim that it was tchelet. So it must be the same color. If it's a different color, it's not shaykh. We're not sure exactly what color it is. Rashi and Chumash says that the tchelet is the color of the sky at midnight. It's supposed to represent Makas Bechor's death to the firstborn. So the sky at midnight is black, it's very dark.
That's what you said. There are different kinds of tchelet. At night or during the day, and
the Rambam says that tchelis is the color of the sky in the afternoon, yeah. Light blue, and Rashi and Chumash says dark blue.
What's talking about it? Yes. And the ocean, I believe. There's yes. A whole right. Series of
what one?
How we get the, how you we getting the color from the sky? The color to make tchelis.
The color you get from this chalazin. You have to get it from a special chalazin. If you make it by chemical, it's not acceptable. If it's imitation, anything else, no good. It has to be dafka from the chalazin. So that's the shalom. We don't know exactly what the chalazin is. So they did archaeological research, and they found factories in Eretz Yisrael where they used to manufacture this tchelis. They found millions and millions of shells from these animals. It's a shelled animal. And obviously, they used to take out the dye from these animals and make... So that's a shadow. Do we rely on archaeological knowledge to establish what the dinim and the Torah are? So some claim that the Beis Halevi says we don't. You can't reconstruct the Masorah. And others say, why not? Why shouldn't you? What's wrong with archaeological research? All of the Paschim say, when they talk about Tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, should you wear Tefillin de Rashi, Tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam? So in the Prisha, in the Beis Yosef, they quote, they found Tefillin by the Kefer of Yecheskel HaNovi. That was according to the Rabbi Natam's version of the Seder HaParshias. So they said that's a riot that in the days of the Nevi'im they used to wear tefillin the Rabbi Natam. And the others tiny now. Maybe they were puzzled. That's why they put them in Shemus, so they buried them.
Is there from some tefillin somewhere, I believe?
Yeah, no, yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
But
the order is different. How could they be puzzled? The order, I mean, they were built to begin with.
No.
The order. Right, so the Gemara said if you have the parshas out of order, it's not kosher. So which is the correct order? So
but that's I'm saying you wouldn't on purpose put them in.
No, they were puzzled.
Why not?
The parsha. No, someone wore tefillin from ages ago. Someone had tefillin like Rabbi Natan. And they were buried in Kevi Cheska. So we don't know whether they were buried because they were worn out. They were buried because the Rabbanim declared that it's not acceptable.
See, the Gavi Trefus, we don't follow the science in terms of what's faith and what's faith.
Okay.
So see, the Messer, there is a Messer not to follow a secular
in Trefus. No, in Trefus, that's right. Not Lachet.
So, say maybe the Gavi
So there's a Gemara. So there are Gemaras though. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells about Rabbi Bar Bachana was traveling in the desert. He had an Arab showing him all of the interesting sights. And then he looked at the Mesim, Mesim Midbar, the Mesim who died in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't look to see about their tzitzis, exactly. Whether they did, how many strings of tchelis they had, how many strings they had. So they called them Shaita. The Amorim said, Shaita, why don't you check to see how many strings they have?
Yeah.
So you see that if you have archaeological evidence as far as something is concerned, it does mean something. Well, there's a machloek satanaim, what the tzitz looked like. It says Kodesh Lashem. Kodesh Lashem. Was it in one line or was it in two lines?
There is one in the Vatican.
So the Gemara says that one of the Tanai went into the Vatican and he saw that it's in one line. So the Tana quotes this archaeological evidence as a proof. The Rambam happens to paskin against that Tana. Ah, it's the Haraya. How can you argue? He saw it. So the Kesem Mishnah says every Kohen Gadol had a different size forehead. So they had to make a different tzitz for each Kohen Gadol. So maybe that sits that Tana saw in the Vatican, that was on one line. And maybe we don't pass them like that. We pass them like the other Kohanim, the other Rabbanim, like the other Kohanim, but them had it sits and it was in two lines. That's why it's not necessarily a proof.
I'm Shane, you're asking differently by intuition. Why do you care what they did? Even if you had it proof positive that they did it that way, you don't care anyway.
Correct? Okay. But I'll call upon him, you see from the Gemara, that they do rechen zich. They do reckon with archaeological evidence. If you have archaeological evidence, they found the mikveh from the days of the Tanoi. And the mikveh is not the size that the Chazanish thinks that it should be. So they said it's a tain against the Chazanish. So the Chazanish says maybe that mikveh was made by the Isiim. Who says that it was made by the Rabbanim? Who said it had the approval of the Rabbanim? He didn't just say we ignore archaeological evidence. How can you ignore it? It's evidence like any other evidence. Okay, we don't reject archaeological evidence. You have to deal with it and figure out. The Mishnah has in Brachas also a takanim of the Rabbanim. The Chazan who's davening for an omen should not answer Amen after the Kohanim say Yirach Hashem Yishmarach. Everybody says Amen. Yirach Hashem Panim Elach V'Yichunek. Everybody says Amen. Chazan shouldn't answer Amen Pnei Hatiruf. He may get so today he's not going to be able to go back to the davening. Yeah, unless he's Cheskasa Shechazu L'Tfilasa. Unless he's sure. He's such a professional. He's sure he's going to go back to the Dam. He's not going to make a mistake. Then he is allowed to answer Amen. Yeah, in the days of the Tanam, they used to daven Bal Peh. They didn't have a Siddur. Bizman is everybody. You don't have to be such a great genius. You're davening from a Siddur. So you keep your finger on the place. You say Amen, and then you say the next line in the davening. You're not going to make a mistake. So that's the Shailan Shulchan Aruch. When the Chazan, Bizman Hazeh, does he answer Amen? Does he only answer Amen after Yirach Hashem v'Yishmerecha, after the conclusion of the three Pesukim, v'Yichunecha, v'Yasem L'chol Shalom, or does he even answer Amen after the Kohanim say the Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher K'dishonu B'Kedushas V'Shalom, V'Tzvanu L'Ochas HaMitzvah B'Yahavo? Maybe answering Amen to the three Pesukim of the Duchening, that blends in with the Davening. That's part of the Davening, because the Duchening is supposed to be at the conclusion of HaKrabas Kabbanah Sibur, and the Chazaras HaShas is considered like the Kabbanah Sibur. So that blends in to be part of the Chazaras HaShatz. So Taisus points out that's not a Mikra Adin, it's not a Hepsik, just a Chashashem or Yitte. And if he's davening from a Siddur, there's no Chashash. But maybe to answer Amen after the Birchas HaMitzvah of the Kohanim, maybe that does not blend in. So that's a Shaila and Achrayim, that's a Machlek. It's a different Chazonim, have different practices, whether they answer Amen. They probably should not answer Amen. The Gemara says when the Kohanim Duchen, the tzibah have to pay attention. If someone gives you a bracha, you have to pay attention and say Amen at the end. So you used to have a minig, bizman ha-tanayim, bizman ha-maroyim, that as the Kohanim would be saying Yivrech Hashem Yishmarecha, the tzibah would recite psukim. So the Gemara says, how you talking? How can you recite psukim while the chazan is, while the kohen is saying the bracha? It's not derech eretz. You have to pay attention to the bracha. So the Gemara says, nishgeferlach, you can pay attention to the kohen saying the bracha and recite the pasuk at the same time. The tour writes that Bizman Hazeh apparently is not a problem of Havsokta. Apparently you see from the Gemara that's not a problem of Havsokta. You're saying the Psukim to enhance the Duchening. Just like Yivrechecha, you have another part, Yivrechecha Hashem Mitzinos, Yishmaim Ba'aretz, and so on. So it enhances the Duchening. The Shaila is it really still so? The days of the Tanoim, the Gemara says it's not that difficult. You can concentrate on the duchening that Kohanim are saying and recite psukim simultaneously. So the Torah says that bizman hazeh people are not so sharp, and they cannot concentrate on saying psukim simultaneously with listening to the Quran. So the Torah recommends you should not recite the psukim. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person has the minhag to pay attention to psukim, he should look in the machzer, he should look at the psukim. He should be mahara the psukim, rather than to say. He's going to say the psukim is going to be a problem. Everybody's mumbling the psukim out loud, and they don't pay attention to the Quran, they don't let anybody else pay attention to the Quran. So that's not right.
We were once talking about the Omein after Halil, and after the Shechiyuna on Yom Kippur, to finish early in order to be able to say Omein, because otherwise...
If you wait till the Chazan says the whole bracha, you say Amen.
Yeah.
So some Rishonim hold that you Yotze, even though he didn't have a mind to be Moitze you, even though you didn't have a mind to be Yotze.
Unless the other way around.
Unless you have a mind Bedavka not to be Yotze. Yeah. But if you weren't thinking one way or the other, so there are Rishonim, we don't really hold like that. There are Rishonim who say that Kol Ha'ino Amen, Kilo Hoitzi Bracha Mepiv Dami, even if you didn't have Kavana Lotzeis and he didn't have Kavana to be Moitze you. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that on Leil Yom Kippur, when the Chazan says Shechyanu, everybody should say along with him quickly Shechyanu and finish before the Chazan and then say Amen after his bracha. If they'll answer Amen to his bracha first, then it's a shayla, maybe they shouldn't say their own bracha later. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik used to be concerned by the Halal also. He thought if you'll wait till the Chazan finishes the bracha on Halal, Likros Halal, then you say Amen, then you're going to say the bracha. So you get involved in the same Asik.
I think
the Berachah
Sfirah.
Right. Same thing.
Not to be Yotze,
unless you have a mind not to be Yotze, then you solve all of your problems. Yep. In the yeshiva for many years already, over 40 years, we have the distinction that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we always have a chazan daven for anam at musaf, we always have a koyin daven for anam at musaf when they duchen. So that's a whole lasik. That's a whole lasik. So it says in the Mishnah in Brachas that if the chazan, the shliach tzibur, is a koyin, so and he wants the duchen in the middle, so in the middle of it, say he has to start walking a little bit towards the platform where he's going to duchen. So he's standing with his 2 feet together. But if he wants the duchen, he has to step a little, one step forward. He's going to have to turn around later. He should in the middle of it say, by it say, he should step forward a little bit. And then when it comes time to duchen, he has to turn around and duchen, then he has to turn around again and continue the chazaras hashatz. So in the days of the Tanaim, when they were davening baal peh, they didn't use a sitter. They weren't permitted to use a sitter. This was considered Torah shebaal peh. They weren't allowed to say the nusach hatfilah from a written sitter. So there was a big problem. The chazan may get totally confused. He'll forget what he was up to. There isn't such a problem. He has a machzer. He'll duchen and then he'll turn around and look into the machzer. He'll see what he's up to. So he'll continue. So that's a big. Can he finish the Shemana Esrei where he is by the duchen? Yeah. Also, he doesn't have to go back where he was, but he should turn around instead of facing the tzibur. He should face the Aron Kodesh again. But the shaila is, how do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah in Bracha says, if the chazan is a kohen, he should not duchen because he may get all tumult, he may get confused. And even if he's the only kohen in shul, and by his not duchening, you're just going to lose out the whole duchening, still shouldn't duchen. Unless cheskosa, if he knows bevadois, chozel tefilosai, he knows he's not going to get confused. Dabbing from a machzor, he's not going to get mixed up. Then we permit him to duchen. So the shaila is, the Mishnah has that. If he's muchzok, he knows bevadois, not going to make a mistake. It says that. After it says, and even if he's the one and only kohen in the shul, also shouldn't duchen. So then when it says, if he knows for sure he's not going to make a mistake, that's only if he's the only kohen in shul, you have anyway 15 kohanim. So do you still say, you have 15 kohanim, and I'm davening from a siddur, I'm not going to make some mistake, so now you have 16 kohanim. What do you say? No, that heter, that if he knows for sure he's not going to get mixed up, we allow him to duchen, that's only if he's the one and only kohen in shul, or if there's only one other kohen, he'll make it into two. What's the mile of having two as opposed to one? Because the Tosfos quotes the Rabbi Natam, the duchening is only deraisa if you have a minimum of two kohanim. You only have one kohen, so the whole duchening is only with the Rabban. Where did he get that? Because the Gemara says, in Eilin Amorim Taken, the Gemara says there in Saito, that if there's only one kohen, you don't scream out kohanim. So the Yerushalmi has one opinion, scream out kohen. But we don't pasken like that. We pasken, you don't call out. You cannot be mitzaveh, because the chiyuv to duchen min haTorah is only if you have two or more kohanim. Where did they get that? Because the pasuk says, Kosav Aruch Hashem B'nai Yisrael, Omor Lahem. So the pasuk pshat is, Kosav Aruch Hashem B'nai Yisrael, the kohanim should give a bracha, Omor Lahem, the kohanim should say to the tzibur. So the Gemara says that's the Pshut of Shalom Mikra, but there's an additional level of interpretation that you interpret that phrase Faket. Omor Lahem means when we, the Tzibur, request of the Kohanim that they should duchen, that's how it says in Targum Onkelos, Kat Temer Lahon. Omor Lahem, the Targum Onkelos translates Kat Temer Lahon. When we ask of them that they should duchen, then the Mechuyev to duchen. So since it says Omor Lahem in the plural, so duchening is only a Chiyev Derais if you have two or more Kohanim. So if you have no Kohanim at all, and the Chazan is the one and only Kohen, or if you have one other Kohen, the Duchening is only the Rabbanon, if the Chazan will Duchen, he's a Kohen, he'll make two, it'll become Duchening the Raisa. So then if he's davening from a Sidra Machzer, so you let him Duchen. What if you have many Kohanim? You have two without him. So that's a big Machlaikah. So most of the classical Poskim say the Chazan should not Duchen. If you have two Kohanim without him, even though he's davening from a Sidra, he should not Duchen. But today, the common practice in Eretz Yisrael is, look, people, they duchen every day. That's the Iker HaDin, you're supposed to duchen every day. So people, someone has yahrzeit, someone is an avelus, they daven for anamid. So what do you mean, a kohen is not going to duchen? So the meaning all over in Eretz Yisrael is that the kohanim, who daven for anamid, they always duchen. Even if they have another 20 kohanim without them, they always duchen.
So they walk away from the amud, the kohan, the duchen.
Yeah, the Gemara says they have to step ahead, they have to step forward a little bit by the end of the bracha of Avaida. The end of the bracha ritzei, that's called birchas avodah, and then they have to turn around. They don't necessarily have to walk all the way up to where all the kohanim are. They have to turn around. They can say, let's say the kohanim are standing all the way in the front, and they're standing, chazan standing in the middle of the shul. He can turn around, and his bracha will be chal on those people who are standing in front of him. You have to have ponim keneged ponim. There'll be a lot of people behind him. Okay, so the kohanim behind him will be giving the bracha to all the people behind him. He'll be giving the bracha to the people in front of him.
I thought there was a whole problem. How can the Quran move?
Chazan.
No.
How can he
break it?
The Chazan. Gemara says you have no braver. He has to walk forward a little bit, I would say.
No matter what they do, it's wrong. Whether jumping or whatever they're going
to
do, it's still
no. No, he said it's not right by Aleinu the Shabeach. By Duchening, you have to. Yeah, duchening, that's a din. Later in the Shabbat, that's a minig that they bow down. So don't bow down. You won't have any problems. Who gives you permission? But by duchening, that's Medina de Gemara, they have to walk.
But what happens, like you said, Shmuel just asked, what happens if it's Sephardi?
What do you mean, is it Sephardi?
Does he have to go up to the duchen? Yeah. If he's a chazan and he's a Sephardi.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Why not?
Does he have to go to the platform? Does he have to go? Sephardi normally goes up to the duchen.
Should get him a platform. No, most of the Sephardim don't paskin like that either. Usually. Most of the Sephardim don't paskin like that either, but the only ones who are chayish is have Sephardish apostle. So he'll get a platform.
Are you saying the Evachayin Yerutzomen or the Psukim after parts of the...
I don't say any of that because the Chazan starts saying Sim Shalom right away. So it doesn't give you a chance. I want to pay attention to the Chazan reciting the bracha. I never say any of those tefillas. Adib Amar, I don't say either.
Sorry?
I don't say Adib Amar Shechem Migvura. I don't say that either. The Gemara says you're supposed to say that. They don't give you a chance to say it. The Chazan starts going weiter. Sim Shalom, so it doesn't give you a chance.
But if Chene Yerutzan, some people say, Yavarachu, Shavramovina, Mirsegovina.
Okay.
Really,
okay.
Is he saying it or not?
He said
no. The Kohanim are supposed to stand with their hands till the Chazan starts Sim Shalom, and then they can turn around. After they turn around, then they can take their hands down. Right. And a lot of shuls, they don't duchen. We don't duchen all week long. We only duchen Shalosh Regalim and Yom Tovim, and then we don't do it right. When we duchen already, we don't do it right. They run so many complicated dinim about duchening that they shouldn't be able to do it right. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a whole discussion that when you have to turn around in order to do a mitzvah, kol pnei shata pnei lo yehu ela li yamin. The Eretz dictates you should do it in a certain way. So by Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, there are two minhagim, whether you light from left to right or right to left. So most have the practice, you put the candles in from right to left, and you light from left to right. That's called limin. So what about when a kohen is facing the Aron Kodesh, and then he turns around to give the bracha to the tzibur? So should he turn around clockwise or counterclockwise? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. And most of the poskim say that to turn around clockwise, that's considered kol pniyos ha'tapoina lo yihu el limin. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Poskim that the Kohanim have to have a meeting in advance to decide which way they're going to turn around. You shouldn't have half of them turn around this way, half of them turn around that way. It doesn't look nice. They
coordinate.
Yeah, they should coordinate and make up in advance. Which they, and most Kohanim turn around clockwise. That's what most of the Poskim say like that. They should turn around clockwise. Right, same Shiloh. So you should really turn around clockwise. Everyone should turn around twice clockwise. Most people don't. Most people do haphazard, whatever, wherever it happens to be.
Sirikas Adam, you can't turn around like this to make a daily man.
See, Sirikas Adam around the Mizbeach, so you're walking, the Mizbeach stands still and you're walking around the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
But over here, it's different. Over here, I'm not walking around another thing, I'm turning around. So that's why the Shaila is, which way are you supposed to turn around? Which way is it called Liman? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they have the two opinions. This year, the din requires that you have to make an Erev Tavshilin, an Erev Pesach. So the Gemara explains in Beitz, Erev Tavshilin is a takana of the Rabbanon. It's not a din menatara. Menatara, you're permitted to cook on Yontif the food that you plan to eat on Shabbos. This year, we have 2 days Yontif, Thursday and Friday. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook on Thursday for Shabbos. Menatara Friday is Chol. It's only Chalamoid. It's not really. It's only Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. So Menatara, there is no heter to cook on Thursday for Shabbos. You're only allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos.
But from Thursday to Friday, is that?
Also not permitted to cook on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif, also not allowed to. Because the first day Yontif is Yontif Menatara. The second day Yontif is only Yontif in the Rabbanon. So you're not permitted to cook or let's say to carry a sefer to shul on the first day Yontif that you plan to use on the second day Yontif. You're not permitted to do malach on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif. So min haTorah, the Gemara says, you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos when it's Yontif HaSamach LeShabbos. And with the Rabbanon, they said, you're only allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos if you made an Erev Tavshil. For let's say some people going away to a hotel. So they're not going to cook, they're not going to lift a finger to do anything. They're only going to bench licht. So that's a shaila that you have to have an Erev Tavshilin in order to bench licht on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's two opinions in Taisvis. So it says, therefore you should make an Erev Tavshilin b'li bracha. If I know in advance I'm not going to do any malachas at all on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then you don't make an Erev Tavshilin. You don't say, let me make an Erev Tavshilin just in case. No, if he plans absolutely not to do any malachas. Right, so benching lift, everyone's going to bench lift.
Then everybody should be required to make an
Erev. Oh, so everyone is required to make an Erev Tavshilin b'li bracha, because for benching lift, that's 2 days in Taisus where they need an Erev Tavshilin. Mm-hmm. So that's why they say you should not say a bracha.
That's what it says.
Lad Lukei Shraga. We say Lad Lukei Shraga. So from the way we say the Nusach, Lad Lukei Shraga sounds like if you wouldn't have made the Erev Tavshilin, you would have not been allowed to light the candles. Or you could say that no, that the two candles that you light, the covered Yontif, the covered Shabbos that you would have been allowed to light anyway. Lad Lukei Shraga means you want to light extra candles all over the house. Maybe for that you need an Erev Tavshilin. But to fulfill Hadlokas HaNeris, maybe for that you don't need an Erev Tavshilin. So those are the two opinions in the Tosafot. What does that phrase mean? La Luke Shraga, yeah. The meaning is that people still say the Erev Tavshilin in Aramaic. The Lashon that appears in the Machzor, the Lashon that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. That's a big problem. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. What if you set aside the Erev Tavshilin, if you didn't say the Nusach? He didn't say with this Erev Tavshilin we should be allowed to cook and to bake everything for Yontif on Yontif and Shabbos. He forgot to say the Nusach. Do you say you put away the Erev Tavshilin you had in mind that this is Erev Tavshilin so shine it's mutter, or do you say the Amira is Li'ikuvah? So that's a machloikis. If you hold the Amira is Ma'akev, so then the question is what language do you have to say it in? So any language is acceptable, but the shaila is if you speak Baloshna Kodesh, if you would have said in Hebrew. So Hebrew is the international language wherever you live. North Pole, South Pole, Korea, United States, Lashon HaKodesh is acceptable. But the Shabbos, if he's saying Aramaic, The Nusach and the Seder is in Aramaic. Aramaic is Laz. Aramaic is not Lashon HaKodesh. Aramaic is not the international language. Only Lashon HaKodesh is. So that's a shaila. If you speak Aramaic, so if you live in a country where they speak Aramaic, das heis geret. If you live in America, that's not the common language that's spoken. So that's a shaila. Is that good? If you make an Erev Tavshilin in
understand
America.
You understand what you're saying?
So the Mishnah Brura has a Chiddush. The Mishnah Brura has a Chiddush, an original, the Bir Halacha has a Chiddush in Hilchos Kriyashma. That you, we pass, and like the Tanoim, you can recite Kriyashma in translation, you can say in French, Zokta Mishnah Brura, if you're in France, and you say Kriyashma in French, it's good. If you're in America, you say in English, it's good. But if you say French in America, you say English in France, it's not acceptable, because that's not the Sfas HaMedina. That's what he writes based on a Gemara in Kiddushin. His interpretation of a Gemara in Kiddushin doesn't really say it. That's the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation of the Gemara in Kiddushin. So Aramaic is not the spoken language in America. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you say Bahadene Ruven Aramaic, this is Ganesh Gezakt. You didn't say anything. That's like you a Maharir. A Maharir is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, whether the Erev Tavshilin is good if you just were Maharir, or you have to have Amira. So better would be either to say it in Hebrew, or to say it in English, to say it in
English. Why is there no Hebrew? Why is there no
Spanish
Hebrew? Why is
it
not Hebrew?
Hebrew?
Why do we keep this Aramaic?
To put the Taina. Rabbanut should put out a new machzor that has it in Hebrew.
Question. The Balabatim make an Erev Tavshir for the hotel, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't cover me at all. I have to make my own.
The Gemara says the Rav in every community has the responsibility to make an Erev Tavshilin for all of his Balabatim, just in case someone forgets. Right.
Once.
Yes. When,
only once.
Right. When a private person makes an Erev Tavshilin, he says, Lonav al Chol Ador Mazos, that's not meaningful. What, he can't make
but
an Erev Tavshilin
for
him.
But he's
not
cooking.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't
he's
matter.
He's doing the cooking for me, all the melachas that they do for me as well.
Except for the Hadlokas Aneris. That you're going to do yourself. The Avokas Aneris, your Balabasta is going to do. Your wife is going to do that. So, if they make an Erev Tavshilin and they have someone pick it up, to be kind of shutfas for all of the guests, so then everybody's included. It's Zochli Adam Shleib, in front of everyone's included. But more correct really is that everyone should participate on their own in the Erev Tavshilin. They're not really supposed to rely on someone else's Erev Tavshilin. So, they should really have all the guests should come over and pick up the Erev Tavshilin to be kind of shutfas in it, rather than relying on one person.
Private house, go to a private house, and you're part of a part, you know, you visit your husband, let's say your son, so he's going to make an Erev Tavshilin for you. So he's going to, so you also have to make an Erev Tavshilin, it's a possibility that your wife might bring cookies or tea or something like that.
No, the Paskim assumed that for the whole family, even for guests, all you need is one Erev Tavshilin for the whole family. You don't need kinyonim. You don't need every member of the family or every guest.
It's different from a hotel.
Hotel, each one is separate. It's not really one family. It's not. There are many, many, many families. You can't say that 500 people are one big family. You're visiting by your son, so that's one family. So the family with all of their guests only need one Erev Tavshilin.
But isn't there
more so you're not permitted to invite a Nochri. Not cooking for anybody. So you shouldn't be allowed to invite the Nochri for Shabbos because he may cook extra on Yom Tov.
You're not allowed to,
could be,
to invite a Nochri for Shabbos?
For Yom Tov. You're not permitted to invite a Nochri to eat by you on Yom Tov. You may cook extra for the Nochri. And the Gemara says in Beita, if a Nochri comes into my home, he comes in. So the Gemara says, if a Nochri comes in, I don't have to kick him out.
Yeah.
I can say, you can eat only the food that's on the table. You can't ask for anything extra because we're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Only allowed to cook on Yom Tov on behalf of Jews who observe Yom Tov. We're not permitted to cook on Yom Tov for non-Jews. So you tell them in advance that it's okay. That's if a Nochri came. You shouldn't invite the Nochri and give him the whole drasha. You can only eat. But if the Nochri walked in, if he got stuck, you fell in, a Nochri came in, So you don't have to ask him to leave. You can say you can stay here, but you shouldn't ask for anything extra because we're not allowed to cook for you. But on Shabbos, we're not going to cook anything for anybody anyway. So that on Shabbos, you can invite a Nachri. There is no Gzeri Shem Yarbishvah. So he wants the Taina that this year, since you're making an Erev Tavshilin, so we're going to be cooking the food on Yontif for Shabbos. So if I'm going to invite a Nachri for Shabbos Chalamoid, so we may be Marbe Bishvilo on Chalamoid, on the first day Yontif, on the second day Yontif. We may cook for the Nachri on the second day Yontif. So this Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to invite a Nachri. Maybe?
That's a new Zerah. Zerah was in Yontif Gufa. No, but not
so religious.
Yeah, they never made such Zerah.
Rebbe once told us the story. Kachaba, I think Rebbe was in Los Angeles, and there was a nun, there was a ger, studying to be a ger. And what happened was, I think Rebbe said that Rebbe told her that people were inviting her for Yom Tov, and Rebbe said it's not a good idea. I think this, you saw the story of Los Angeles.
I forgot about the details. The woman asked the Shaila. All the Jews were inviting her to come for Yontif,
right.
And she was preparing for conversion, so she knew that she's not allowed to.
Right.
So she asked the Shaila, should she tell him that I'm not allowed to eat by you on Yontif? Yeah.
Then she asked the Shaila herself, what about Shabbos?
Yeah, Shabbos Neymar says is mutter. Shabbos Neymar says is mutter. No, she should tell him I'm not allowed to eat by you on Yontif. They're not allowed to have over an Ochri on Yontif. Even though we all do all the cooking before, but then we reheat the soup and someone will ask for a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, so you are going to cook something on Yontif. How do you have in the hotels? That's a shot. What, they don't check everybody to see that they have a bris milah? In the hotels, there must be some people who are converted by a reform rabbi. There must be some people who are not Jewish who come to the hotels. So some of the poskim say that lemaisa, the way we have the hashgach in all the hotels, the Nochrim do all the cooking. The Jews don't do the cooking in the kitchen. The Jews supervise it that it shouldn't be bishalakum. But all of the cooking, if a guest will ask for another bowl of soup, or a guest will ask for a cup of coffee or something, or for a steak or something, it'll be a Nochri who's going to be doing all the cooking. So the Gzeir Shemi Yarbe Bishvila doesn't apply in such a case. So sometimes people have a problem at home. Somehow they feel stuck. They have to invite a non-Jew to eat at their home on Yontif. So if you have a non-Jew taking care of the whole kitchen, and even if this non-Jewish guest will ask for some extra portion of something, all the cooking will be done by the non-Jews, not going to be done by Jews. So then some of the poskim say that there is no gzera there. Then you're permitted to have the Nochri come up.
It's going to be no,
you have to be careful it's not bishul akum. So you have to make sure that at least the fire was lit by a Jew. So we assume that takes off the problem of bishul akum. The Gemara said before that the whole institution of Erev Tavshilin is only needed midirabbanim. Midatorah, you don't need it.
Shleim HaMelech.
Erev Echatzeres, the Gemara says, Shleim HaMelech introduced. Erev Tavshilin, I don't think the Gemara tells which generation it was introduced. So the Gemara has two reasons. Why did they introduce Erev Tavshilin? So one reason was to be mechazik the Isa Melocha on Yontif. That people are mezalzal a lot of time. They do Melochas on Yontif improperly. So we want to demonstrate we're not even allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos unless we make an Erev Tavshilin. Kal v'chaim, you're not allowed to cook on Yontif to Chol. That's one opinion in the Gemara, that the requirement for Erev Tavshilin is to mechazik the Isa Melocha on Yontif. The other opinion in the Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Beitz, is that it's to be mechazik the mitzvah Suda Shabbos. That there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Thank you. So there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, so the person may have prepared all the food in advance. He may eat everything up on Yontif. He'll be left with nothing for Shabbos. So we want to remind all of the families, don't forget about Shabbos. You should only eat half the food up on Yontif and leave a little food over for Shabbos. So there's a discussion there in the Rosh and other Rishonim. Is there a difference between the various reasons? If there is a difference in the Shabbos, which reason do you paskal on? So the Rosh wants to say maybe there's an afkamina. Does the Erev Tavshilin have to be made dafkan Erev Yontif, or can it be made today? I'm afraid I'm going to forget on Erev Yontif. I'm going to have 1,001 things to do, so I'll make the Erev Tavshilin today. Is that okay? Or do you insist that it has to be done dafkan Erev Yontif? That's the question that they always ask. What bracha can you only say on a Wednesday or Thursday? What bracha is it? It's the bracha on Erev Tavshilin. You only say on a Wednesday or Thursday. Either Yontif is Thursday and Friday, or Yontif is Friday and Shabbos. So that's a question whether that answer is correct. Is that really true? That you can only make an Erev Tavshil and an Erev Yontif? So the Rosh claims that that depends on the different reasons. But that's Lemaisa, that's the practice, that we make the Erev Tavshil and on Erev Yontif. You don't make it in advance. You don't do it in advance. So the Gemara has a discussion in Maseches Psochim. What's the reason that it's mutam and ater to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? That the Rechon Nefesh means to cook on Yontif for Yontif? Why should it be mutam to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? So the Gemara has a machlokes hamaroim. So one opinion in the Gemara is hoyel. Oifem Yontif l'chol amem vav amabes. So one opinion in the Gemara is that any food that you cook on Yontif that theoretically could have been eaten up on Yontif. The Maisa, we plan to eat this food tomorrow on Shabbos, but theoretically, we could have eaten today. It's a ton of food. We could have invited all the Jews from the whole community. We could have eaten everything up today. So since, theoretically, one could have eaten it up today, so that's called Echol Nefesh for today. So even though you have in mind the Farish that you want to eat it tomorrow, the situation sets itself up as one of Echol Nefesh, automatically ignoring what you have in mind. That's Hol V'mikra Lechem Chozelei Hashtana Michozelei. That's one opinion in the Gemara. That's what Rabbi says. And Rabbi Chizda disagrees. He says he doesn't believe in that. What do you mean? You have a mind to eat it tomorrow. So how can you say that it's today's Echol Nefesh? Because theoretically you could have eaten it, but you don't plan to eat it today. Rabbi Chizda says, no, the Shabbos next to Yontif is like a Hemshech of Kedusha. So just like you're permitted to cook today for today, so to cook today for tomorrow is also today. It's one long Kedusha Sayyam, Shabbos v'Yontif, Asmuchim Zavazeh. Constitute Kedusha Achas, one long Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours. So Tzorchi Shabbos Nasim Yontif. Is there any difference, Halacha Lamaisa, between what the reason is? So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, there is a difference, and there's Taka Machloik HaSarishayim had a Paskin. The Magen Avraham says, the difference is like this. Let's say I made an Erev Tavshil on Wednesday, then I'm going to do a Malacha late in the afternoon, I'm going to put up a Cholent. Late on Friday afternoon, I'm going to have a Blech, so there won't be a Shailav Shehiyah. I'm going to put a raw cholent late on Friday afternoon. I did the malacha bishul, but it won't be edible today on Yontif. It's going to take a couple of hours till all the potatoes, all the beans, everything is raw. It won't be edible until the middle of Shabbos. So if you say you're permitted to do a malacha on Yontif for Shabbos for tomorrow, it's one long hemshech of kedusha sayyam. So it's mutter even to do malacha late in the afternoon on Erev Shabbos, going into Friday night. But if you hold the reason for the heter of minatari, you don't need the Erev Tavshil. So why is it mutar minatari to cook? Because theoretically, anything I cook today, theoretically I could have eaten today. But here I did a malacha today. No one can eat it. You can't eat it today. It's raw. The malacha is today's malacha, but you can't. No one can begin to get hanoah till tomorrow.
When the second day Rosh Hashanah is on a Friday, that will last too long. You have that time.
So the Magen Avraham says that whenever you make an Erev Tavshil, you have to be careful to do all the malachas of cooking early in the afternoon. You shouldn't wait too late. So he says that where he lived in Kalish, in Poland. He says in his community, the minig was that whenever you make an Erev Tavshil, you always mekabel Shabbos early. From Plaga Mincha. So even if you put up your cholent the last minute before you bench licht, but you bench licht an hour before the shkia. So by the time, in an hour, the cholent will already be edible. You'll be able to eat it today. You're Makabel Shabbos early, but it's still Yontif till the shkia, till the end of the day.
That was some.
Okay.
The chef in Altaheim used to bring the shul to the mafia, to the
that was
bakery.
Many people
was hot from the chavos baking. You know, it wasn't even a fire, but the heat makes the shul.
Right, because many people didn't have such an oven at
home. The oven was
burning.
Right. So
that's when the Magen Avraham says that was the practice. So this year we'll make an Erev Tavshil for Shavuos also. We'll make an Erev Tavshil, Shavuos is going to be Friday and Shabbos. So that's a Shaila. If you make an Erev Tavshil on Friday for Shabbos, and the Minig, the Magen Avraham quotes this Minig, whenever you make an Erev Tavshil, you should be Mekabel Shabbos early. an hour before the Shkia.
You know, seven, nicht finished.
So the Shaila is, what about Sfira? The minig is in Sfira that some have such a minig that on Leil Shavuos you don't daven early. You wait to daven till Tzeis HaKachav. So the Prima Godim quotes from the Knesset HaGdayla that, right, right. No, but the shot is, if you have a minig, if you have a minig, like the Magen Avraham says, whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, you should be Mekabel Shabbos early to make sure that any cholent, any pot of tea kettle you're going to put up, it's all going to be cooked on Yontif before the Shkia. So the shot is it proper or improper to daven the second night of Shavuos early? The first night of Shavuos, we wait to daven till Tzeis HaKachom because of Tamimas. Shabbos, yeah. Yeah, so let's say this case. This case. Let's say the first day Shavuos is on Friday. And you make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. And the first day Shavuos is Friday. The second day Shavuos is going to be Shabbos. So is it okay to daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, an hour before the Shkia? Or do you say, no, you have to have Tmimas? So the Prima Godim quotes the Knesset HaGdolah that just like on the first night Shavuos, we have such a minig. Many don't have the minig. We have a minig to insist on waiting. You don't begin Marv till after Tzeis HaKachavim. So Yontav Sheni of Shavuos also you should wait till Tzeis HaKachav. So that's at the Prima Godim Tainis. It doesn't make any sense to him. He says, we don't count Sfira Leil Shavuos, the first night of Shavuos. We already finished counting Sfira. Before, you don't daven Ma'ariv on the first night of Shavuos. You want to have the full 49 days, the Tmimais. You're right. You want to have 49 full days of Tmimais before Shavuos enters. But Shavuos already entered last night. And tonight, last night, the first night of Shavuos, we didn't count Sfira. So he thinks there's nothing wrong. He thinks that the Prima Godim writes that you can be Mekabel Shabbos early, even if the Shabbos is the second day Shavuos. You can still observe that minig if one chooses to.
We don't have a sphere server with Sfeika D'Yama.
We do not have, right. The Rishonim have a whole discussion, why not? Why don't we count Sfira Sayim as Sfeika D'Yama? If we're not sure which day is Yontif, we have Yontif Shena Shal Goli, it's because of a Sfeika D'Yama, so you should really count Sfira.
It's a steer to count.
Yeah. Right, so there's a whole literature on that topic. Why don't we count Sfeika D'Yama by the Sfira Sayim? Yeah. Yeah, many people will forget to make an Erev Tavshilin. So the Gemara says that if one forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin in Chutz Loretz, when you have 2 days of Yontif, so that the institution of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias is all because of Sfeika D'Yoma. So the Gemara says if one forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin this year on Wednesday, next Wednesday, so you can make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, ala Tanai. You say, if today is Yontif, so tomorrow is Chol. So Stam I'm allowed to cook on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. It's Chol. And if tomorrow is Kodesh, tomorrow is Yontif, so today is Erev Yontif, so in Erev Yontif I can make an Erev Tavshilin. So that's what the Gemara says. L'chatchila, more correct, is you have to make your Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, when you have 2 days Yontif, on Thursday and Friday. But if one forgot, and it's Chutz Loretz, if it's Eretz Yisrael, it's a different story. You only have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So that's not a Sveika D'Yoma, that's a Yom HaRichta, that's a Vadai, Kedush Achas. But if it's 2 days Yontif, 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuos, so it's only B'Torah Safek, so whoever forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday should make on Thursday. Rabbi Kivega quotes over there that when one makes the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, Mitam Safek, Ala Tanai, he should not say a Bracha. When you make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, the Elam also shouldn't say a Bracha. Maybe Yontif is really Wednesday. Maybe Yontif is really Thursday. And Friday is Chol, so you don't need an Erev Tavshilin. So the Gemara says, not so. You make a bracha on the Erev Tavshilin. But if you're making the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, ala Tanai, you're saying, maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe I don't need an Erev Tavshilin. So that's a 50-50 chance. So then Rabbi Kivega claims that when you make the Erev Tavshilin, you should not say a bracha. In Eretz Yisrael, it rarely happens. Does it ever happen? Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday and Friday, yeah. So Neretzel doesn't work. Neretzel doesn't work because it only happens on Rosh Hashanah. They don't have 2 days Yontif. They only have 1 day Yontif. So they never have the Shabbat. And Rosh Hashanah, the din is not so. But in Chutz Loretz, that's the halacha.
Don't they have the
the problem with Shavuos?
They have to make an Erev Tov Shem also. But if they'll forget, then there's no Eitzah.
I mean, there's no Eitzah, but they
Yeah, they have to make an Erev Tov Shem also. But this Eitzah to make an Erev Tov Shem on the first day, Ala Tanai. Right, there is no second day. Right.
You told us once when you were there to school, you forgot to make
for the guests. Right. They forgot to make for the hotel guests who had a bench licht. There was an Israeli hotel, and they were supposed to make an Erev Tov Shilin for the guests that were going to bench licht. All the guests were from Chutz Lords. They were all observing on Tov Sheni. So the rabbi was at a loss. He didn't know what to do, because the din never comes up there. In Israel, they never have the din.
You just got through saying you can't make an Erev Tov Shilin just for benching.
You can't say a bracha. You have to make an Erev Tov Shilin b'li bracha.
Yeah,
the hotel.
So what did he accomplish, this mashgiach? Make an
Erev
Tov Shilin that I
can
light candles.
Yeah. All the Israelis, Ben Kovaco, only have one day.
So why does it work all year? In other words, I'm going away to a hotel Wednesday, and the Balabas is going to make an Erev Tov Shilin, but you say that won't cover me for the lighting of the candles.
No, it's a shaila whether you need an Erev Tov Shilin for candles. So we require the Erev Tov Shilin, believe bracha. More correct is that everyone should make his own Erev Tov Shilin, shouldn't rely on someone else.
He's not going to make an Erev Tov Shilin, he didn't accomplish anything. Just like I didn't get, I was still responsible to make my own Erev Tov Shilin.
L'chatchil, every person should make his own. If the person doesn't know how, so he relies on the rabbi making the Erev Tov Shilin. So more correct is all of the people in the hotel should participate in that Erev Tov Shilin, make their own. And if not, so at least the mashgiach in the hotel should make the Erev Tov Shilin. So the Maaseh Shai was, the mashgiach was an Israeli, and he didn't need an Erev Tov Shilin. He forgot that he was supposed to make an Erev Tov Shilin for all the Americans. So the rabbi was the Talmud Chacham, didn't know what to do, because the Shadah never comes up in Eretz Yisrael. So he asked me, I was from Chutz Lord, Vayas comes up all the time. So it's a kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Vayas we know they did.
The Orchim don't cook.
Yeah, but the Orchim have to bench licht. Yeah. And bench licht is a suffix whether you need an Erev Tov Shilin for that. So you make an Erev Tov Shilin b'li bracha. So anyway, here was going to be b'li bracha. It was going to be Alat Tanai. But whenever you make an Erev Tov Shilin just for licht benching, so then you do without a bracha. Somebody asked me, what is the inyan that we sing the Zmiris at the end of the Seder? What is that all about? That we have all of the piyutim at the end of the Seder. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out the Rambam in Hilchas Chometz HaMatzah writes the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says that it says Zachar Sayyim Azeh Sheyitzasam Yeretz Mitzrayim. The verb Zachar appears just like it says Zachar Sayyim Shabbos Lekatcho. So just like over there it means Kiddush, here it means also Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zachar means Lahazikir. It doesn't only mean to remember, it means to mention, to talk about it. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik was working on that Rambam. The Yerushalmi talks about what is the Rambam gain by pointing out, just like it says Zochar by Shabbos, so too it says Zochar Sayyim Azeh Sheitzasim in Mitzrayim. What does he have to give a tushtel, just like over there, so too over here? He's just telling you that's we interpret the verb Zochar to mean Lahazakir, to mention. That's Poshib Shad. But he thought that it meant something more than that. So the Yerushalmi has a whole fantastic suggestion. The Yerushalmi says that just like on Shabbos, we insist on reciting Kiddush al Ayayin, so on Pesach night, the CPCS Mitzrayim should be al Ayayin. You should always have a cup of wine, and it's really considered you're saying the whole Hagod al Ayayin. Not just the Kiddush and Asher Gyalon and the Bichas Hamoz and Bichas Hashir, everything is really al Ayayin. That's how the Yerush HaMeach suggests. The Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe it means something else. So he thought maybe on Shabbos, how is one in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush? So there's a famous Rabbi Akiva Eger in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Kivege writes that the husband davens in shul, somebody davens on Friday night, every Friday night. Husband davens in shul, so he says, Vishmanese tefillah Shabbos. So he's already yaitse kiddush min haTorah. And the requirement to repeat the kiddush al ayayin, we assume, is only with the Rabban. Let's say his wife didn't daven in shul, so she's not yaitse kiddush min haTorah yet. So there's a whole discussion, the Dogam of Ovid, the Nadi Behuda raised a question, if the husband is ready Yotze Min HaTorah, how can he recite Kiddush with his wife who wasn't even Yotze Kiddush Min HaTorah?
Huh?
Oh, so there's a whole discussion whether it works for women or not. That's a whole
discussion.
She should have Marav at home. That's about it. So that's what Rabbi Kivega says, no, when the husband comes home and the wife says Good Shabbos, So the wife is already Yotze Kiddush Menater. She said it, she already mentioned that today Shabbos, so she's also Yotze Kiddush Menater. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this comment that Rabbi Kivega says, and he says he doesn't think that that's correct. By saying good Shabbos, Yotze Kiddush Menater, so he says, look in the Rambam, both in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Shabbos, when he writes the Mitzvah of Kiddush, he says, when you fulfill the Mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to mention the Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos and the Shevach HaYom. You have to praise Shabbos. You have to say something special, that Shabbos is different from all the other days. Just to say good Shabbos, you're greeting the other person. Have a nice day. So you say, have a nice Shabbos. But you didn't say that Shabbos is unique. You didn't say that Shabbos has Kedushas HaYom. You didn't say anything special about Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze Kiddush by just saying good Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik also pointed that out, that in order to fulfill Kiddush, Zocher Sam Shabbos Lakacha means you have to speak about the uniqueness and the special status of Shabbos. So he said, when we sing Zmiris, Yom Zeh Mechubad, and several of, not all the Zmiris, some of the Zmiris you talk about Bria Soilam, but quite a few of the Zmiris you're speaking about the uniqueness of Shabbos. So when you sing those Zmiris on Shabbos, speaking about the uniqueness of Shabbos, that's really a fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush. You were Yotze with the Kiddush that you said. He said Shabbos is a special day, and so on and so forth. But if you continue to say the piyutim, the zmiris for Shabbos, you're enhancing your fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos. So I thought that. So then Rav Soloveitchik thought, and the Rambam writes that it says Zochas Hayom Hazeh Sheitzasim in Mitzrayim, and it's similar to Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatshoi. He thought that on Pesach night also, in the Sipei Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to speak about the uniqueness of the night of Pesach. Not just to say about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to say that Pesach is something special. So some of the piyutim that we recite at the end of the Haggadah, some of them speak about V'chei V'hibach Tzialayim, we speak about all the different things that happened on Pesach. So those piyutim, I understand, those piyutim are to enhance the fulfillment of the Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chad Gad Yor is not. Yeah. What is it? That's it. That's a big problem.
He mentioned Yochum and Reish Chodesh. In other words, why if it says Yochum and Shabbos, you start on the first day of the week. You don't wait till the Shabbos itself. You have to have the Kiddush Shabbos. You have Yom Echad Shabbos. You therefore you might think that Pesach you should do the same. Yochum and Reish Chodesh.
You should begin
with the first Yochum and Shabbos.
You just answered the question of mine of a long time. It says in Mugay Novois, it says Lefun of Navoid by Yerubo Fachat. So this is supposed to be a repetition of the. What does it say by Yerubo Fachat? According to what you just said, that you have to mention something that is unique about Shabbos, Lefun of Navoid by Yerubo Fachat.
Okay. On Pesach night, the Gemara says that the Abakosis is not only that you drink four toasts, you drink four cups of wine. You have to have four brachas alakos. Like when you get married, you have Bichas Erisin alakos, by Sheva brachas, you have Sheva brachas alakos. We say Kiddush alakos, benching alakos, Abdol alakos. By a bris, you say the bracha. Ashe Kiddush, you did mebetim, we recite alakos of Yain. Svarim only say Bar Piagofen twice. But they hold a cup of wine four times to say four brachas alakos. So they say Kiddush alakos, Hashir Gyalonu alakos, Bichas Hamazon alakos, and Bichas Hashir alakos. So it's not really right to be mafsik in between, let's say you say Kiddush. So you're not allowed to talk in between the Kiddush and the drinking. You have to drink the wine right away. So Hashir Gyalonu is also like that. You hold a cup of wine, then you say Hashir Gyalonu, and then you say Bar Piagofen. So you don't talk in between the bracha Hashir Gyalonu and the drinking of the cup. So in all of the Haggadahs, they have Hidim Mochan Mizum of the Kaim Mitzvahs Koisheni, and then you say Bar Piagofen. So if you want to be Mahara, that's okay. But you shouldn't say Hidim Mochan Mizum. That's Mamash Hepsik in the middle of the bracha Lakos, or after the Bichas Hamazon. So in the tour, there's a discussion that the tour had a discussion with his brother. The benching is really over when you say Li'olam Al Yechasreinu. So we have a minig, we say Olo HaRachmans. So the tour's brother thought that that's a hepsik. If he's saying Birchas HaMazon Alakos on Pesach night, everybody says Birchas HaMazon Alakos, or a lot of times Shalushudas, whatever, a lot of times you have Birchas HaMazon Alakos. So it's not right to say Olo. The tour's brother claimed it's not right to say Olah HaRachmans. That's a hefsek. You should finish the bench in the Olam HaYichasreinu and then say Bar Piyagof and drink the cup of wine. So we follow the tour. The tour says Nishgefelach. Since you always say HaRachmans, so we treat it as if it's an extension of HaToiv HaMeitiv. The last bracha was instituted midirabbanon. First three brachas are the benching on Minatur. The last bracha HaToiv HaMeitiv is midirabbanon. So all these HaRachmans like a hemshech of HaToiv HaMeitiv, because we always say it. That's the lashon of tour we always say. There's some people who don't always say it. Some people are always in such a rush, so they say till the other my husband, and then they run back to their work or they run back to learning, whatever. So even if on Pesach night they decide they got enough time to say all the harachmans, they have a shaila. Maybe then it'll be a hefsek. The only time we say it's not a hefsek is if it's a nusach that you always say. So then it's not considered a hefsek. That's what they say. The Balatanya seems to hold when you have the special harachmans by a bris. So you don't say that every day. You only say by a bris. So they say in the Kavanoki, the author of the Kavanoki wrote that's the Sefer Hilchos Gittin. So he wrote a Sefer Shara Koilel on the Nusach of the Siddur of the Balatanya. So he's Medayik from the Balatanya's Loshin and the Siddur that the Harachman's by a bris, you only say on special occasions. So you should say the Bar Piyagofen by the benching before those Harachman's. You shouldn't wait till after. That'll already be a Hefsek. The Kula that we have to read, the Tur has a Kula that you can say all the Harachman's. That's because the Harachman's you always say like that. Or let's say after the fourth kos, the fourth bracha la kos is Birchas Hashir. You finish the end of the Hallel at the end of the Haggadah, and then you say the bracha Yahalulucha. You say Nishmas and Yishtabach, and then after you finish saying the whole thing, then you start saying Piyutim. So the Magen Avraham quotes is a big machlekes Achrenim. Many Achrenim say you're not allowed to say those Piyutim in between the bracha la kos and the Bar Piyagofen. As soon as you finish the Birchas Hashir, you should say Bar Piyagofen and drink the cup of wine. Then you say all the Piyutim later. That's not really right. The reason why they introduced the Piyutim earlier is because the Gemara says you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat anything after Afikoyman. And there's a machlekes of whatever I've been drinking, so we're not allowed to drink either. So the person is going to be thirsty. So we postpone the drinking of the fourth cup till as late as possible. So you say many of the Piyutim of the Pizmonim, and then you say the Bar Piyagofen. But that's not really right. More correct is that you shouldn't be mafsik in between the Birchas Hashir and the Bar Piyagofen, and you should drink right away. And then you can say the Piyutim after you finish drinking. We in Shulchan Aruch it says that the Shabbos before Pesach is known as Shabbos HaGadol. So they give many explanations. Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? So one of the many explanations that they gave over the generations is that during the period of the Bais Sheni, there were fierce disputes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim about many points. So one of them was about Sfiras Omer, that it says in the Chumash, Sfarat Melachem Imochas HaShabbos. So the Tzdukim interpreted, you always start counting Sfira on a Sunday, and Shavuot is always going to fall out on a Sunday, because Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oyv Yisrael, he liked the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu made up all the Dinim. He didn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu made up the whole Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oyv Yisrael Hoya, so since Shavuot is only one day, how can you take off in the middle of the week one day? So he made it a long weekend, so you take off on Shabbos and Sunday. That's what the Gemara quotes, that's what the Tzdukim said. And Nitpalahem Rabbi Yechman Zakar, Rabbi Yechman Zakar was the chief rabbi, and he was debating with them. He says, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oyv Yisrael, so why did he keep us in the Midbar for 40 years? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything on his own, he did whatever the Rabbeinu Shalom instructed him to do. And that's not what it means. Mochas HaShabbos means first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. It doesn't mean whenever it turns out to be. Sometimes the first day Chol HaMoed will coincide with Sunday, and sometimes the first day Chol HaMoed will be the other days of the week. So that's what there is a Gemara in Perek Klal Gadol. The Gemara is Medayik in Masech HaShabbos. The seventh Perek is Perek Klal Gadol. The Gemara is Medayik. Why is it called Klal Gadol? Mechalal Dika Klal Kotten. If you call this the big Klal, it must be that there's a little Klal. So that's why many say the reason why we call the Shabbos before Pesach Shabbos HaGadol, we want to imply that this is the big Shabbos, then there's a little Shabbos. The first day Pesach is called Shabbos, and we're going to count Sfira like the tradition. We're going to count Sfira in Machos HaShabbos on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. We're not going to count Sfira on Sunday, unless the first day Pesach is on Shabbos. We're not going to count Sfira on Sunday because we hold that there's a Shabbos Gadol and the Shabbos Kot. There are many other reasons also, but that's one of the important reasons. Good night, everybody.
How are we going to my generation?